Okay, Mitch, we're not going to mention any your company name, and we'll get started right now with the recording. This is Joe Tufo, a Managing Director, Cash Flow Specialist in the San Francisco Bay Area. This is Thursday, November the 13th, my mother-in-law's birthday. And as we record this, and I have my friend Mitch Chapman on the line with me, Mitch, is it fair to say that you're a quasi-expert when it comes to business lines of credit?
Well, every time someone tells me or wants to give me kudos for being an expert, I have my wife speaking to me in the back of my mind, and she said, you're not an expert in anything. So I would say thank you for that, but I've been involved with Unsecured for a very, very long time, and we know how to get things done.
Well, we're going to get off the script here in the beginning. First of all, let me just announce again, Cash Flow Specialist Joe Tufo, toll-free number to the office, 1-800-669-2700. Direct to my desk, 925-691-8200. My cell phone, 925-352-6000. Email, help@joetufo.com. Mitch, how long have you been doing lines of credit?
Well, in one fashion or another, we've been associated with unsecured business lines of credit since 1975.
So that's 33 years when we're making this recording.
It's a long time, yes.
So it's safe to say you could close one or two or five or ten within the next few months, correct?
That we would do that likely. That would be a very light week for us.
Yes. So how many could you conceivably close in a week? How many could you handle if we brought you? Because, you know, we could bring you volume. So
sure.
How many do you think you could close?
Well, I think from right now it's a function of processing. Processing has not told me to slow down, and I just yield to them. But in times past, they've indicated to me that they are extremely comfortable with handling 50 a week. And we haven't even personally hit the hit that threshold.
Okay. Now, are we talking about 50 clients, 50 applications, 50 of what?
50 applications.
Okay. Now, if we bring you, just as an aside, if we bring you, like when we brought you Will on Monday and he's applying for $500,000 corporations, does that count as one client? Does that count as five applications? How do you count that?
That would be five separate applications.
Okay, good. So we can handle that. Okay,
absolutely. And also, Joe, if we get to a point where we're approaching the 50, processing will basically just start to sweat, meaning that they'll bring on additional people, which is easy to do.
Okay. So how much money, let's take this like from Christian's perspective, for Mark, how much money can these clients raise?
Well, we build the program from the bottom up, and each corp is designed to obtain $100,000 each, and that would be in the form of one line of credit from one U.S. bank. Now, an individual applicant can apply for 10 separate lines. So individually, they can have 10 separate lines for 100 each. That would make them a million. Now, the issue becomes how many people are in their group or company. If they're married, just multiply that out, et cetera. So the example I use often, if there's a group of, let's say, five real estate investors and three of them are married, that would make six individual applicants plus the two that are not. That would make eight. Times 10 each would be 80, and then times 100,000, that would be $8 million for that particular group.
So raising the money is not an issue?
Absolutely, it's not an issue. The money is there. The technology is there to obtain it. And what we're in essence doing is pre-engineering the entire process to meet the underwriter's guidelines, because we know what those guidelines are before we even start.
So what can I use the money that I raise for?
Well, any legitimate purpose is how we answer that question. Now, I know you, Joe, and you and I both walk with the Lord, so we're going to screen out the illegitimate business purposes, and we'll just leave it at that. But any legitimate purpose, and we go that way because we know that the lines need to be serviced properly. Servicing means making the monthly payment, which is interest-only payments, on a monthly basis. If that's not done, the lender's going to shut down that particular line, and that ends up as a black mark towards us individually and then also towards that lender's overall threshold of a bad debt reserve that they would establish. Once the lender hits their either 2 or 2.5% bad debt threshold, they close down the program. It's shut down, and it's not coming back. Similarly, what they do is they also track where their submissions come from. So as an example, if they are running on a cumulative basis, let's say 1% overall bad debt, which is pretty good, and then they have a submission channel, let's say through us, that's running or hits their threshold of 2 or 2.5%, whatever that might be, once we hit that, we're blackballed. So we don't need that. It's happened to us before because people abused our programs, and we are painstakingly making certain that there has to be a legitimate business purpose.
How many corporations can one person get?
Well, it's really, individually, that would be maxed at 10. But, again, I think I answered that previously. That would be a function of the number of corps available would be a function of how many people are in that group, or minimally, if the person is married, then husband and wife can obtain 20 between them.
Why is there a maximum limit to the number of corporate entities per individual?
That's a really good question, Joe, and that's because we're really working with 10 different lenders, and it becomes extremely difficult and almost a no-no to go back to the same lender with the same applicant, even though it's a different corporate entity.
How long does it take to raise the money?
The process is typically 30 to 45 days. There's three steps to the process. The first one is the application aspect to it. That's getting all of the documents that we require, and, of course, with the processing fee. Second step would be what I refer to as corporate compliance. That's something that we handle from soup to nuts. Corporate compliance will take anywhere from 21 to 35 days. We have no control over that. But after corporate compliance, the third and final step would be the lender. The lender takes about 10 days max. So that's why it's 30 to 45. As we start approaching the festive holiday season, once we get to the other side of Thanksgiving, you can absolutely add another 10 days to the time frame because the lenders slow down. They're on holiday, and they don't really come back to work full steam until about the middle of January. That's a typical banking situation that we run into every year.
Does a client have to sign a personal guarantee?
Absolutely not. There are no personal guarantees in this program whatsoever.
Does the client have to provide their own credit report?
No. And another wonderful benefit of this program is that there are no credit scores required. The reason that there's no credit scores required and also the reason that there are no personal guarantees required is this program is all about corporate credit.
What if a client's got a bankruptcy on their record?
Well, we would want to take a look at the nature of the BK. If it's something recent, we would probably back off. If it was something that was older, we would still want to have an understanding as to why they got themselves in trouble, and then we would take that on a case-by-case basis. But basically, what we're really attempting to do here, Joe, is we're attempting to protect the program. We're not looking for people who are overridden with debt, either on the business side or on their personal side, to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. And then the chain just keeps on going, and they've refinanced debt, but the debt doesn't go away.
Today we know that there are a lot of homes, Mitch, that are in foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Business the business side may be okay, but the personal side may be in trouble. So would a prospect qualify if the home is about to be foreclosed on?
Well, what I would strongly suggest that that individual do is look into a loan modification. We could help them with that, but I would not recommend this program for that homeowner.
Okay. Does a client have to provide tax returns or financial statements to qualify?
There are no tax returns and no business financial statements that are required whatsoever. Perhaps this would be a good place to jump in and indicate the overview of the program, which is simply application only. No credit scores, no personal guarantees, no tax returns, no business financials. It's stated income, stated asset.
And upfront fees?
We have an upfront fee that is paid through us that gets paid out to third parties. It's the third parties that get it done. Without paying the processing fee, we just can't help somebody. And the processing fee must be paid in a cash format. That's either through a bank check or a business check. A wire transfer we prefer only because we get the funds quicker. But the funds, the processing fee cannot and will not go into escrow because although I'm a nice guy, I don't have the money to continue to shell out for everybody to get their job done because they are a little, let's say, frigid about the program and they still are uncomfortable. If people are uncomfortable, Joe, then I say, you know, that's okay. We'll part as friends.
Yeah, I think that's always best. Obviously we come across that a lot because we're primarily large project funders and we have people all the time, they say they're going to escrow the money. I always say, why don't you just keep it? Go find somebody else to do business with.
Yeah.
Because, there are expenses. We have one of our large project sources, I mean, their entry fee is $200,000.
Mm.
And they're the same source that Goldman Sachs, Bank of America Securities, Merrill Lynch use. And when you walk into B of A or Merrill for large project funding, you walk into Goldman Sachs, the tab is $250,000 when you walk into Bank of America or Merrill, and then it's $500,000 when you walk into Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, if they want the money, they don't have any problem paying those guys, but somehow when it comes to other firms, they seem to be reluctant, and it is always best for them to pass. So what are the back-end fees, please?
We have a broker fee. We call it a broker fee, which is 5%. We call it a successful funding fee or a broker fee. The 5% would be based upon the total amount of the unsecured business line of credit that would be established.
Okay. And now, are they actually writing a check for that, or is it being subtracted from the credit lines?
They would write a physical check to us, and how that works is we'll know the amount that they're approved for. We would then issue an invoice to them for the 5%. Once they and then they write us a check. Now, our only concern with checks is that we don't end up with rubber and we don't end up with wallpaper. That goes both for the processing fee and also for the broker fee.
Okay, the next question, how are they, the back-end fees transferred? They're going to be transferred by a check that the client's going to write.
They can write a check. They can wire the funds. We have accounts across the country. Most of our accounts are where the majority of the populace lives. So they could even go to one of our banks, to the local branch, and make a direct deposit.
Well, other than Washington Mutual, what other banks are you using?
Right now, Wachovia. That's personal business-related accounts for national for my company. We're in the process of establishing likely two other, maybe three other accounts, or definitely two, and those would likely be Citicorp and also BOA.
Okay. All right, so what are the interest rates on these lines of credit?
Normally speaking, the interest rates would be somewhere between prime and prime plus four. Every now and then they're a little bit higher. The question that is begged to be asked after we state that is, what's the difference, or how does it get determined what the interest rates are? And we simply don't know, Joe. The only rationale that we can think of is that once the application gets to underwriting and it's approved, whoever that underwriter is today at that particular lender may have had a bad day yesterday. So perhaps yesterday somebody got prime plus four, and because today they had a better day, it might be prime plus zero. There's absolutely no rhyme nor reason to how the interest rates come out.
How many lines of credit are there for each corporate entity?
Well, what we strive to do is to hit one. If it's one, it's going to be $100,000 on the nose, or it will be a little bit higher, and that would be somewhere between 102 to about 112. Every now and then, the lender doesn't give 100, so then what we do is we go to a second lender and we'll ask for another 20 to 30,000, and then they'll be over the 100 anyway. So normally it's one. Overwhelmingly it's one. Every now and then it would be two.
What are the terms for the lines of credit?
The terms are revolving and perpetual. They're interest-only monthly payments. I always like to tell somebody to think of these unsecured business lines of credit as a very large credit card.
So how long is a credit facility good for?
Well, as long as they service the line properly, which means that they are making the monthly interest-only payments, then the line would be available to them in perpetuity or until they determine that they want to close it. But that doesn't happen.
Does a client only pay on the amount that they borrow, or is it on the entire credit line?
No, it's line of credit is a facility, but over under the guise of a loan. So what they'll be doing is they'll be paying interest only on the amount that's drawn down from that line. So, for instance, I'll use this example. A line of credit is established for $100,000, and let's say at the end of the first month there's $24,000 outstanding. Let's assume for a moment, for simple math purposes, that the interest rate for that month would be 10%. 24,000 at 10% annualized is $2,400. Divided by 12 for that particular month, the interest only payment would be $200. You go into month two, let's say that they paid down $10,000 in principal. So now at the end of the month, they paid down $12,000 in principal. Now at the end of month two, the principal outstanding balance is $12,000. The interest rate didn't change. It's still 10%. 10% of $12,000 is $1,200 annualized interest for the year. Divided by 12, that would make the second month's monthly interest-only payment at $100. Now, those are the rough estimates as to how this works. Every lender will compute their interest a little bit different, just like every credit card issuer computes their interest a little bit differently.
Can the applicant raise more than $100,000 per corporation?
They could, yes. Down the line, what will end up happening, now this is not to confuse the situation with using multiple corps, but staying on the topic of one corp, down the road, what will end up happening is, and this is at about 9 months or so, the lender normally comes back to them and says, you know, you're doing a great job with maintaining or servicing the line. We're going to bump up the amount of your line to, let's say, $125,000. So that can happen. They can go to the lender after about 9 months as well and ask for an increase. If the corp that is being provided through our process would be attached to an operating entity, and then if there are bona fide financial statements and tax returns in the business plan, then of course they can go to any lender that they chose to, and they could obtain more. Now, any additional funding that they would receive outside of the initial, we do not participate in.
So, in other words, down the road, if 9 months down the road or a year, 5 years, they bump that limit, they don't owe us any money. That's just it's a service that we're providing.
That's correct. We tell everybody to think of that as gravy on the mashed potatoes.
What states are these corporations from?
Overwhelmingly, they're going to be from Nevada, but they can also come from Wyoming, Arizona, Florida, Delaware. If somebody has a specific state that they want an entity to be established in, they can request that, and if it's available, we'll do it. But I can tell you it would be foolish not to have a Nevada Corp, and you can consult your corporate attorney on that.
How old are these corporations?
They'll be aged somewhere between 10 to 15 years old.
Can the client choose their own corporate name?
Absolutely. And on our forms, there's a document that says company information. Now, right next to that, in parentheses, it says for internal use only. That's for our internal use. But on that particular form, if they have a name that they would like to request, then use that form and request it. If they would like to use an address other than their home address for this corp, then certainly indicate the address on that form as well.
If the client doesn't choose a corporate name, what name will the corporation be given?
Well, normally then what we would do is we would use their last name, say, so it would be like Tufo Industries or Tufo Enterprises, if that would be available. If it's not available, they'll find something for them. But the naming issue is a non-factor.
Do these seasoned corporations have any hidden liabilities because they're several years old?
Absolutely not. They are totally unencumbered. Now, part of our corporate compliance is to be certain that, in fact, that they do not. Now, that's okay for us to tell you. However, once the application is submitted to the lender, in fact, does their own due diligence. They do UCC searches, lien searches, et cetera, et cetera. The lender will not be able to approve any amount for a line of credit or a loan, for that matter, if there are any outstanding liabilities. So rest assured that they come totally unencumbered, which means basically they're lien-free, they're judgment-free, they're collection-free.
What are the requirements regarding corporate addresses and corporate phone numbers?
Corporate addresses is we need a physical address. So no P.O. boxes. As far as a phone number, we handle the phone numbers, and that's part of our service, as well as the first 2 years of a registered agent.
Does a client have to pay additional fees for a corporate phone number?
Not initially, but subsequent to funding at about the fourth month or so, should they choose to continue with the phone service that's being provided to establish the corp, then that's their option. It's a very nominal monthly fee of about $20 or so a month.
When the client submits their application, do they have to provide a copy of an enlarged copy of a colored driver's license?
Yes. We need two forms of ID. And one of the questions that we receive on an ongoing basis, Joe, is, if this is, in fact, stated income, stated asset only, no tax returns, no business financials, no personal guarantees, and no credit scores, why are you asking me then for personal information? And why do I have to provide you with identification? The simple answer to that is, unfortunately, we live in the post-9/11 era, and we have to deal with the fact of the Patriot Act. And because we're dealing with U.S. banks, the U.S. banks will require two forms of ID. One of them that's the normally acceptable is a picture ID in the form of a driver's license. The other one is normally the Social Security card. if they don't have a social, or what they can do is they can provide military ID or their passport, and that would be an acceptable form.
What other documents does a client need to provide?
Really none. It's the application process only. As long as they can read and they're breathing, and so therefore we believe that they can read. That's my internal funny little joke that doesn't play too well. But nonetheless, that's really it.
Can the client use a copy of a passport instead of a Social Security card?
Yes, they can. That would be an acceptable form of a second ID, yes.
What is the range of time it takes to fund the corporations?
They're going to go somewhere between 30 and 45 days. I believe I answered that one previously. No.
Just looking at the questions we aggregated. Are there any extra items of credit or funding that the prospect can get with the seasoned corporation over time?
Repeat the question again, Joe.
Any extra items of credit or funding that they can get with the seasoned corporation over time?
Yeah, they can, as I explained before, if they have proper financials or business tax returns, et cetera, they can go to a lender of their choice and they can use the corp because now it's already 10 to 15 years old, maybe 3 to 4 years down the road, now it's 13 to 19 years old. So they can use all of that to go to a lender of their choice to increase the funding.
Yeah, the point is, it's their corporation.
Exactly.
It's up to them. They can do whatever they want with it.
Well, sure, and it's the same idea that they have a currently existing entity, and they're looking for money for additional working capital for that business. We don't tell them what to do in their business, nor do we tell them what to do with this corp. Now, we control the process from application through funding. Post funding, it's all theirs.
If the client buys multiple corporations, like many of ours have so far, do mm-hmm. they have to file multiple corporate tax returns?
Each corporation would be required to file its own separate tax return, yes.
As well as paying each of the annual renewals.
Whatever that requirement would be in that particular state, yes.
Are the corporations designed so that they only need one officer and director?
Correct, yes.
Are multiple officers and directors required if there's only one stockholder?
No, not required, but can be added. What we do is we ask for one person to be the stand-up guy, if you will, and guy is a generic term, to be the live person who is going to be signing and have signatory powers for that particular corporation. Subsequent to funding, they can add, delete, change, et cetera, anybody on the corp that they chose to do so. It would be analogous to General Motors or any other top 50 or 1,000 Forbes company going to their local bank. Who is going to sign on behalf of that corporation? Well, the corporation can't sign for the corporation, but the corporation has authorized signatories that can. And so it would be this the secretary or the treasurer or a VP, but somebody, regardless of who it is, it would be somebody designated by the corporation to have those specific powers.
It's got to be an officer or director. Do I get
yes.
my upfront money back if I don't get funding?
Yes.
What other guarantees do you have?
That's it. That's the one that everybody is concerned about. What happens if? Well, the if is it doesn't happen. And the reason that it's asked is twofold. There's, unfortunately, as you well know, Joe, there's lots of scams and frauds running around rampant in the financial world. And so everybody's concerned about what happens if. The answer that I have to that is simply that nobody really understands corporate credit, and this whole program is all about corporate credit.
Well, Mitch, I think that that pretty much answers the questions that we had aggregated. Are there any other things that we didn't cover in those? question?
Well, I think with my last comment, I think it would be a good thing for me to explain perhaps a little bit as to how the corps are designed. And so because we're using a reverse engineering process, meaning that we understand what the underwriting guidelines are, and so we're going to design the corporation to meet the underwriting criteria. It's as simple as that. Now, we, at the core of the corporation is going to be the credit enhancements that would be analogous to gasoline making an engine run. You can have a driver in a car. You can have the driver put keys into the ignition. You can have the driver turn the key to attempt to start the engine, but if there's no gas in the gas tank, the engine's not going anywhere. Engine's not going to turn over. The car is going to stay in the driveway. And it's the same thing with the credit enhancements. It's all about credit enhancements, so let me take some time to explain that. The corps are designed to be approved through the banking system for $175,000. However, once we receive or we go through step one, which is the application process, and step two, which is the corporate compliance process, now we're ready for step three, which is the lender process. On the application submitted to the lenders is going to be a request for $100,000. This process would make it a very low LTV for the bank at about 55-56%. But what's happening with the credit enhancements is that there will be somewhere between 3 to 6 trade lines that will be reporting as part of corporate compliance to the business credit bureaus, including Dun & Bradstreet. When the lender receives the application, they pull a Dun & Bradstreet business credit report on the individual corp. The Paydex score, which is analogous to a personal credit score for individuals, shows up as a minimum of 80. 80 Paydex is an equivalent of a 750 on a personal credit score. Now, the trade lines are going to be showing and reporting as aged and seasoned, somewhere between 6 to 10 years old, never late. They're going to be reporting as open with high amounts, high credit amounts or high credit limits with very low balances. Now, even though there's low balances reporting and even though there's high credit limits reporting, those trade lines are not available for personal consumption by the corporation. But it's all about the trade lines making the credit enhancements through the trade lines that get things done.
Okay. Now, you know, one of the questions that does pop up, though, is can they get the money faster than 30 to 45 days?
Unfortunately, no, they can't, Joe, and that's because every application stands on its own merit, and every application has to go through the same arduous corporate compliance process where we have to dot all of the I's and cross all of the T's. And so once that individual corporate compliance is satisfied for that individual corp, then and only then are we able to submit directly to the lender. Now, the corporate compliance, part of that, they are going to physically receive an SS4 or an EIN or an employer identification.
A tax ID number.
Yes, they are. Exactly. And that SS4 is going to indicate specifically the age of the corp. And so what I would do is I would be sending out an email to them with the SS4 attached and some other information, but also indicating to them that their articles of incorporation will be received in the next few days. What they need to do as part of completing corporate compliance, they need to sign it, they need to date it, and they need to fax it right back to me. If they don't do it timely, it's only going to delay the corporate compliance process, therefore delay their funding.
All righty, that was Jeff walking in case you heard the alarm going off as he he came through the door. But, you know, Mitch, this has been great. I just want to thank you for your participation. And for all those that will be listening to this recording over the days and weeks and months to come, we're talking with a seasoned financial, I don't know, we can't use expert because his wife's already spanked him on that one.
That's true.
Mitch for a few years. He's a stand-up guy. He's a straight shooter. He's a great guy, and he's a good friend. So, Mitch, I want to thank you for your time today. I want to thank you for your cooperation, and I trust that this information will be a blessing to many people. Any closing comments?
Well, I just want to thank you for your kind words of encouragement, Joe. I would also just say that concerning interest rates and the specifics of the actual line of credit, the individual applicant would be receiving disclosures directly from the lender, which need to be signed and returned directly back to them. Otherwise, they can't close. But it was a lot of fun chatting with you again this morning, Joe.
Well, thanks very much, Mitch. I'll make sure that you get a copy of this.
Okay, wonderful.
Right. Hey, listen, we're going to sign off now, and then I'll call back on that other one. Okay,
great.